Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As it is written, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 9, verse 33. In this passage, we have expressed how Jesus would be considered by believers as well as what he would mean to believers. Paul is quoting from the Psalms and from Isaiah. He had been expressing vindication of the right of God to cast off the favored position of the Jews as a nation and to offer the gospel and its blessings to the Gentile world as well. And God now extends his favors of fellowship, once exclusively enjoyed by the Jews, to the whole world. These favors are extended through the gospel message. Christ came to save both Jew and Gentile, both those that were near and those that were afar off. A characteristic of the gospel is that the gospel is for all. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," Mark 16:15. It is most unfortunate that the Jews, as a nation, have refused to accept Jesus as the Christ. Rather than believing on Christ, he was a hindrance to them. They looked upon him as a stumbling stone, something offensive. Everything he did, everything he said, was an offense to them. It is not that God deliberately made Jesus offensive to the Jews, but they made Jesus offensive to themselves because they would not obey God's teaching regarding salvation. Paul says that Jesus was a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And why was Jesus so offensive to the Jewish people of the first century? One reason was because of the lowly circumstances surrounding his birth and his early appearance in the world. He did not meet their predetermined standards that they had set for their king. His parents were from the despised city of Nazareth. He was born in the humblest of environments, in a stable and a manger for his bed. He did not possess great properties. He was not one of the earthly glory and worldly power. And they were offended because of the nature of his kingdom. You see, they wanted an earthly potentate that would challenge the rule of Rome, bring them into the former glories as that which characterized the reign of David and Solomon. But Jesus offered no such kingdom, although they first thought that he might. He headed no army, but he preached submission to the powers that ruled the world as long as they were not forced to disobey God. He solemnly declared that his kingdom was not of this world. His kingdom was not an earthly form of government. And it is regrettable that there are still those, like the Jews, mistakenly, still think Jesus is going to be an earthly king, ruling from Jerusalem. Why, they fail to understand and appreciate the spiritual nature of his kingdom. The Jews were offended because of the frankness and the plainness of his reproofs of their wickedness. They were a self-righteous lot, thinking themselves to be a special class by virtue of being the descendants of faithful Abraham. And so they refused to accept the teaching that others as well as they could be children of God. Their religion was often simply a mere lip service, but void of genuineness and sincerity. When Christ firmly exposed their hypocrisies and he rebuked their deceits, they retaliated. When he spoke concerning sin, he did not do so with sugar-coated words that would soften the displeasure of God toward evil. Rather, he expressed and he demonstrated an intense hatred against evil. Therefore, those who loved sin and those who practiced it, they learned to despise the Lord rather than profit from what he taught. They were also offended at his mercy toward those upon whom they looked with contempt and inferiority to themselves. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. He showed God's love by his actions to all people of any race and nationality that would reverence God. He forgave the harlots. He spoke tenderly of even the most noxious of people when they were penitent. The Jews were unforgiving. They were brittle in their legalistic religion. They would hold grudges against those they disliked. It was quite a contrast between them and the merciful and forgiving Son of God. And as a result of this difference, Jesus was offensive to them. They stumbled over him. Christ did not satisfy their expectations and their demands. But notice what Paul says of the meaning of Christ for believers. They shall not be ashamed. Possibly there have been times in your life when you were embarrassed, either by your own conduct or that of someone around you. Parents have sometimes been shamed by the behavior of their children. Children have often been given reason to be ashamed of their parents. Brethren are sometimes ashamed of one another because of the anti-Christian behavior that corrodes the life of some brother or sister in the Lord. But those who believe in Christ will never have justified cause to be ashamed of Him or shamed by Him while they are faithful. Never is there need to be ashamed of the faith of Christ. Peter wrote, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient thereunto, they were not appointed." 1 Peter 2, verses 4, 7, and 8. In other words, the very stone that God placed as the cornerstone, the standard by which all else was to be erected, was cast aside by the Jews. Peter encouraged brethren, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." 1 Peter 4:15 and 16. Friend, rather than suffering shame because of Christ, we can experience happiness and a humble pride, success, joy to the fullest possible. We have that in Christ. Paul was proud to be a Christian. He was proud to be a messenger of the Lord's will. He wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 1 and verse 16. Those who are ashamed of Christ will be ashamed of His doctrine, and vice versa. Some are embarrassed before the world because of the gospel. They are ashamed to be known as one who professes to be His disciple. They are intimidated by those who look upon Christ contemptuously. But the true follower of our Lord will gladly uphold every point of the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine that He taught and authorized to be taught in His name. He will strive to abide by every direction and labor to live in accordance with every word as well as the spirit of His message. We need to let all men know that we are Christians, not for our glory before men, but that Christ may be glorified and His will exalted. In face of all odds, and whatever be the consequences that follow, we must not fear to be identified with Jesus, nor dare we withdraw from taking a firm and determined stand for the truth He delivered. We will not be ashamed to tell others of Christ and His scheme of redemption. We will profess and confess Christ and His way, even though it may cost us fame and fortune, power or prestige, popularity or whatever. We will never compromise the truth for the pleasure of any if we be true to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Mark 8 and verse 38. To be proud of Christ extends back to being proud of those who follow Him. We will not draw back from our faithful brethren because of race or educational level, background, social status, economic condition, or any such things as that. It is unfortunate that all of us do not live in such a way that all the rest of us can be proud to call each other brethren in the Lord. There are times when there is reason to be ashamed of sinful conduct and attitude exhibited by one another. But we should never be ashamed of any fellow citizen in the kingdom of God because of worldly and arbitrary standards. Some have shown themselves ashamed to be Christians. If the building is not outstanding and on the right side of town, attended by worldly prominent and financially well-to-do people, so often such churches have brought the cause of Christ into worldly compromise anyway. Being proud of Christ may bring us into many circumstances that are designed to humiliate us. But eventually, those that are poor shall be rich with true riches. Those that are humbled and downtrodden shall be exalted and glorified. We ought not want to be among the number that is ashamed of Christ. Rather, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Can you possibly imagine how important it is not to be ashamed of the Lord when we are present at the judgment? Now this is the Lord's message of hope. This is his consolation to his disciples. Rejectors of the Lord shall be cast away to perish eternally. Woe unto that person that cannot humble himself and take into his heart the only Savior that God has provided, the eternal bliss and peace for which the believer is certain and sure, is there awaiting our partaking. He, Christ, stands as the rock of ages, rather than the rock of offense. Christ, the stumbling stone of those that believe, is the stepping stone into glory for those that will follow him. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.